Osweiler, and I invite you to come and join me as we take a pause in our busy day and pursue soul care, as we allow our bodies to slow down and our minds to be renewed with goodness, truth, and hope. This is PRN. Pause, renew, next. Hello, friends. Welcome. However you're arriving here today, I'm so glad that you're here. We're going to start our time together by doing a little deep breathing. If you'd like to, you can put your hand on your chest, but you don't have to do that. We're going to do a big inhale through our nose. Fill up your belly with air, hold it, and exhale. Again, inhale. Hold it and exhale. One more time. Inhale. Hold it and exhale. Really focus on that exhale. Notice how it feels. If you enjoy that and you need to take a few more deep breaths, please continue. You know, this season on the podcast, we've been talking about resilience. And the definition we've been using for resilience comes from Kurt Thompson. It's learning to tolerate distress and maybe even grow from or in the midst of it. So when you think about the word distress, what word do you hear hidden in there? Stress. If you've listened to this podcast over the years, you've heard me talk about stress definitely more than once before. But I think any review we do in this episode is worth repeating. So today we're going to talk about stress and how it might influence resilience. More specifically, let's talk about two important factors that combat stress that I believe also help us better build resilience. But first, I want to talk about stress and how it differs from anxiety. So stress is our body and our mind's response to a stressor. Something that's happening in our environment or inside of us that could be considered either a danger or a challenge. So stress itself is happening in the moment. It's something that's currently happening. Anxiety, on the other hand, is our body and brain responding to something that has not yet happened. It's like we're preparing for something in the future, problem solving something that is not yet here. Now, our body's response tends to look kind of like that fight or flight response for the most part. And that is kind of the same for both. Like whether the challenge is here right in this moment or whether my body is preparing for an upcoming challenge, my body kind of responds similarly. So the way we feel in stress and anxiety can look very similar, but they're different. A stress is something that's actually happening now. Now, there's this fabulous TED Talk that I highly recommend. I think I've talked about it on this podcast before years ago. It's called The Upside of Stress by Kelly McGonigal. I believe she actually has a book with the same title. In it, she shares that stress itself is not bad for you. It's what we tell ourselves about the meaning of the stress that can be bad for us. When we're going through a stressful situation, when there is an actual stressor happening in our lives, what is the story that we're telling ourselves? You know, I talk about this concept of the stories that we're writing a lot in my therapy office because a lot of people believe that emotions lie to us, that they're not to be trusted. You know, I disagree. I think emotions do not lie to us. They're giving us helpful information and they can be noticed and honored. I believe where things tend to go awry is the story we write about our emotions and what they mean. Same thing with body sensations that we experience. Emotions and physical sensations are messengers. But how we interpret the message and the meaning we make of it, now that can make a big difference. So here's an example. For instance, if I'm feeling sad about my favorite team not winning, it's okay to feel sad. My emotions aren't lying to me that I'm sad. I don't have to judge myself for feeling sad. It's a valid emotion. It's telling me that my hopes for my team did not pan out. I can let myself feel sad that my team didn't win, and ultimately, the sadness is going to pass. But what if instead of recognizing my sadness as valid, I noticed I felt sad and then immediately wrote a story about what that must mean about me or the teams that I'm watching. I might write a sadness story that tells me that I am so weak for being so upset about something like that to begin with. Or I might write a story that blames the teams for the result. I think that's pretty common, right? If only they would have worked harder. They should have been better. Or maybe I'm making a villain out of the other team. But the root is my sadness, that my hopes for my team didn't pan out. But in my sadness, I've written a whole story that may or may not be true. But here's the thing, we humans are meaning makers. We are always writing stories to make sense out of our world and our experiences. They're not always true stories, but we are always telling stories. Now that subject itself could be its own podcast episode, but today we're going to talk about the meaning we make out of stress. If you've ever taken a psychology class, chances are you've heard the name Viktor Frankl. He endured the Holocaust, and later he founded a school of psychotherapy called Logotherapy. He's also famous for existential therapy. And it's all about finding meaning in life. He wrote a memoir called Man's Search for Meaning, and in it he talks about being a Holocaust survivor. He argues that finding purpose is the key to enduring suffering. His work is all about saying that meaning is a primary human motivation. The story we tell ourselves matters. The meaning we make out of suffering matters. Now, a minute ago, I talked about a famous TED Talk by Kelly McGonigal. In it, she references a study that was done in 2012 at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. They studied 30,000 adults, and they tracked them for 8 years. And researchers found that those who underwent great stress but didn't believe that stress was bad for them, they didn't really suffer significant health consequences from their stress. However, for the people they studied who were undergoing great stressors that did believe that stress was bad for them, they were more likely to have negative health consequences from their stress. They found that high stress increased death risk by 43%, but only in those who believed that stress was damaging to their health. Wild, huh? The story we tell ourselves about stress matters. So for instance, let's look back at the body mechanics of what's involved in stress. We might have increased heart rate because our body is trying to pump more blood to get ready for whatever challenge is coming our way. We might be breathing faster and harder. We might feel sweaty or shaky. We might have a little bit more racing thoughts. So as I record this, the Winter Olympics just finished. I think the Paralympics are still happening. And if you watched in the Olympics, you'll notice what it looked like to see all those Olympians getting ready for their races or whatever event they were going to be a part of. I saw those skiers like shake their poles, do their little rituals, hit themselves, do their deep breathing. Can you imagine that their bodies were probably having some of that fight or flight response? I would imagine so. In fact, I would kind of be concerned if they didn't, right? A little bit of adrenaline helps you do better at a challenge. So if they didn't have any adrenaline going into something like that, they probably aren't going to perform as well. But what they told themselves really mattered going into those races, right? If they said, I'm going to wipe out, this is going to be the worst, that's not a great way to go into a race. But if they were telling themselves, I've got this, I've practiced this a million times, they probably were going in a lot more confident. So let's take that to something that we might do. If, for instance, I have to get up and give a presentation, chances are, as I'm preparing, I'm probably going to have a stress response and have some of those symptoms. The butterflies in the stomach, maybe feeling a little bit shaky. I might interpret that and tell myself things like, I'm going to be sick. I'm going to make a fool out of myself. I hope I don't have a panic attack. Or I could notice those symptoms and tell myself, this means that my body is rising to a challenge. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. Now, that's a small and short-term stressor example. But even in bigger endeavors, even in stressors that are bigger, that take longer than just a presentation, the story we tell ourselves about our own ability to endure and thrive matters. And that leads me to talk about a documentary my family and I recently watched about the Barkley Marathon. Have you heard of it before? I don't think I had. But it's really fascinating. There's a race held each year in the mountains of Tennessee called the Barkley Marathons. Lots of people apply, but only 40 are chosen to participate. And they only let those that they think have the best chances of surviving the challenge be a part of it. Because this is no ordinary race. It doesn't take place on a road. It's in the backwoods of Tennessee in the mountains. Only part of it is on a trail. Most of the race takes place off trail. It's a 20-something mile loop with severe inclines and severe declines. There's rugged terrain, and the only marks for the trail are occasional books hidden in certain locations to let you know that you're still on the right path. So it's a marathon, but like on crazy terrain and not a well-marked path. But that's only the beginning. To complete the race, you have to do the loop 5 times. That ends up being 130 miles, about, roughly. Sometimes you're taking the loop clockwise, and sometimes you're taking it counterclockwise. Sometimes you're doing it during the day, and sometimes in the dark. And the whole 5 loops must be completed in 60 hours, or you're eliminated. They call making it through the first 3 loops the fun run. I don't think there's anything fun about it, but that's okay. For years after starting the race, no one even completed it. Even today, after 40 years, only 20 people have ever completed the Barkley Marathons. In fact, just for fun, the first woman, Jasmine Paris, completed it in 2024. You guys, this is considered perhaps the hardest race in the world. Talk about endurance. Talk about tolerating stress. It was really fascinating to watch the documentary and see the strategies that people would take to try to finish the race. Some people went in wanting to finish, and others came in wanting to prove something to themselves. Some people wanted to just be able to finish 1 loop, others 3. They had to pace themselves, deprive themselves of sleep, keep hydrating and eating at regular intervals, continue to put dry socks on, tape up their feet, etc., 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 like pretty extreme. These were really grueling circumstances, but these people are people who have trained both their bodies and their minds to endure. What were the stories they were telling themselves about stress, do you think? Not quitting stories. Not stories of ease and relaxation. Victory stories. Endurance stories. But no one wakes up one day and does something like that and succeeds. Our bodies and minds have to be trained to be able to endure something like a marathon. Stress trains us. The right amount and kind of physical strain trains our muscles and helps them grow. The right kind of mental or emotional strain can do the same. Remember our definition of resilience? Learning to tolerate distress. Not like distress. I don't know anyone that likes distress. No, tolerate it. And hopefully, in the midst of tolerating it, even learning to grow in or through it. And that's what they said in the documentary about the Barkley Marathon. A lot of the racers come out knowing more about themselves, knowing more about their own bodies, their minds, their wills, their own endurance. Again, what we tell ourselves matters. If we're under stress that feels purposeless and never-ending, and that we have no control over it, that's when stress can become negative. We start telling ourselves pretty ugly stories. Helplessness is a really bad story premise for our minds and our bodies. Remember a few episodes ago, we talked about finding small places of agency and movement when things feel frozen or helpless. You can go back and listen to that episode again or for the first time if you think that would be helpful. But I want you to remember that movement and agency, even if it's small in the midst of stress, is important for how we feel and how we interpret our own agency in the story of our stress and distress. Besides the story we tell ourselves in stress, though, I think there's another element to stress management and building resilience that's super important to mention here. And that is, drumroll please, you're gonna know what's coming probably, that we're made for community. I know, I always say it, like every time. We are made for community. Enduring stress by yourself is a completely different game than enduring with a support system. In fact, in that documentary about the Barkley Marathon, 2 of the 3 people that finished the race stayed together for most of the race, encouraging one another and keeping each other company. In stress, we tend to look for others. Who has my back? Who's there for me? Who will understand what I'm going through? Who can offer physical help? Even at a minute level, Think about when something crazy happens at work or at the store. Who's the first person you want to call or text about it? Especially for females, this reaching out for support or even to vent is a huge help in stress. And actually, there's a name for it. A UCLA researcher named Shelley Taylor made a theory called tend and befriend. She says it's a biobehavioral stress response, primarily in females, that favors protecting offspring and seeking social support. So tending and befriending. And that we favor that actually over fight or flight. This theory says that mediated by oxytocin and other hormones, this tend and befriend behavior promotes survival through social bonding during threats. Yeah, we like that, don't we? We don't want to be left alone. And our kiddos sure don't either. They're coming for us in stress, aren't they? Oxytocin is a bonding hormone, or sometimes called the cuddle hormone. Kelly McGonigal talks a lot about oxytocin as well in that TED Talk, if you want to go check it out, The Upside of Stress. We know that that hormone helps mediate the effects of stress in the body. So especially for those of you whose stress is related to caregiving, like you're in a helping profession of some sort, like teaching, childcare, or you're caring for your own children, if you're caring for someone with special needs or for elderly parents, oxytocin is helping your body fight the effect of stress. Almost like the Lord had a plan in place when he formed the body of Christ, huh? That's what the church is supposed to be, friends. The body, wrapping itself around those in need of care to help sustain through stressors. We're not supposed to do it alone. And these two elements, how we view stress, the story we're telling ourselves about our current life difficulties and if and how we're sharing it with others or allowing others to support us, it makes a huge difference in the way we navigate stress or if and how we can tolerate distress. Perhaps the story we're writing about our stress, the meaning we're making, is what helps us grow from it, leading us towards more resilience. So if you find yourself in a season of stress, notice what you're telling yourself about it. If it feels overwhelming and meaningless, see if there's anything at all that you have control over and take some agency over that little part, even if it is just a little part. And perhaps, friends, it'd be helpful to zoom out a bit. I think the gift of faith is that even if we can't find meaning in the particulars of our suffering or stress, we can trust that we're not alone. Christ has tended and befriended us, so to speak, and he's given us the Holy Spirit that's always with us. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, our affliction is light and momentary. Doesn't always feel like it, but light and momentary in light of the eternal weight of glory that we're achieving. So I think back to the Barclay Marathon, the briar scratches, exhaustion, sore muscles, sleep deprivation, were what we might call light and momentary for them in light of the goal those runners had to make it to the finish line. Their stress in light of the achievement waiting for them was endurable. They could tolerate the distress in the meantime. And if we think about that metaphor, what does that look like for us in our faith and in our stress? We can also look for who is near. In Christ, we know we're not alone. But who are the flesh and blood people who are near? Who are the people who encourage you? Who can you vent to? Who helps you realign perspective? Who are you caring for? These might be family, friends, siblings, pastors, therapists, spiritual directors, mentors. Maybe you're listening to podcasts like this or authors who are encouraging you. Hopefully, you have quite a few places. And as you reach out and care for others, you're also helping your own stress response. Within reason, you people pleasers, please notice your own capacity before you help just everyone. But you know what I mean. The body of Christ helps support each other. That's the goal. That's the hope. So friends, in summary, in stress, we really need to look inward at the story we're telling. Reframe it if that's helpful. Stress won't kill you. What you tell yourself about it is much more important than the actual stress itself. Then look outward at the people around you. And finally, we want to look up at the author and finisher of our faith. Grab his hand He's running the marathon with you. You'll endure. You'll finish. You'll be even stronger. Well, that is all for today's podcast episode. But before we go, I want to leave you with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.